So I'm on the BJJ Fanatics website, and I see three new videos by some guy named Thomas Radzinski. You familiar with that guy at all?
Nope, absolutely not.
No? Well, he's got some good stuff. Three brand new videos. They're getting amazing reviews, which is good to see as well. But you got to tell us about them real quick?
Yeah. You know, I had you guys already know, but I had opportunity to go to Boston, shoot three more instructionals, one on butterfly hook, complete guide for butterfly hook, two, wrap, lapel, and submit them. And three, we have taking the back. It's particularly designed for guys for over 40 because there is no climbing involved. All the back days are on the ground. Very, very full and effective system. So dip into it. I'm really hoping that this is going to help your jiu-jitsu and really take it to the next level.
BJJFanatics.com. Just search R-O-Z-D-Z. We have all had that situation where after class is when we want to ask a question. And Thomas, a lot of those questions you've already answered, right, at Ask a Black Belt.
Yeah, it's another podcast that I'm running. It's on podcast, all podcast platforms, plus on YouTube. You can find it anywhere. Just search for my name. Search for Ask a Black Belt. At this point, over 100 episodes, different questions, jiu-jitsu, life-related, but something that everybody comes across, and often these questions sink in our mind, but we don't ask for whatever reason. So if that benefits you, go there, listen. It actually might help your jiu-jitsu, might help your life as well. And if you have any questions, find me on Instagram and drop me a line. I'll be happy to answer your question and mention your name during the episode.
Welcome to Raw Radio.
How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Oh, that was very aggressive.
Was it? Enthusiastic, not aggressive.
Was it?
Yeah. I had a lot of coffee. It's warm out, and I started doing cold brew again. So I've had my hot coffee in the morning to get you going, and I just drank a whole mug of cold brew.
How much coffee do you drink a day?
I don't know. Well, let's see. 36, and then this is probably another 12. 48 ounces.
That's for a full day?
Yeah. So like
that's not a lot in relation to what I drink.
Yeah,
so
I mean, like on the automatic drip, you know, a cup is only 6 ounces.
Yeah.
So, and I only make 6 in the morning. And then I had this. But sometimes in the afternoon, like if I go home for lunch or something, I'll make more. So but you know, usually 36 at the least. And then upwards from there.
Yeah.
It's important. And you, coincidentally enough, I've a lot of coincidences the past couple of days for me. I just got a notification that the package was delivered and it was in fact coffee.
Was it?
Yeah. From my birthday gift, from you and Carrie. It was a three bag. I don't remember exactly how the subscription worked, but, one of them came today.
Are you trying like different flavors?
Well, yeah. So I'll do different types of roast, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I don't. Well, the Roadcaster is flipping out. Or maybe I've had too much coffee. But the screen is blinking and moving around, which it's never done before. At least I've never seen it. So I'll try different roasts. I mean, I mostly stick with dark roast, right? Look at the flavor profile and see if it's something I like. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get it. Hey, coincidentally enough.
Another coincidence.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have strong opinions about coffee. And I think we're kind of talking about a little bit about
strong opinions in general.
Yeah, I do have strong opinions. I try not to. I try to, like, not, I don't want to say not care, but you kind of have to at some point realize that things aren't a big deal. So maybe when you have strong opinions, it's, why do you have them, right? You got to figure out why you have them. And is it ego? Is it because you can't let things go? Is it because it's been ingrained in you for so long?
It's like different layers, right? Like, yeah. But why having an opinion is one thing, but enforcing your opinion on other people, that's different level.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's totally different. You know, people go to war over that shit.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's, you know, I don't care. I don't care about a lot. And
I'll tell you, knowing you for so many years, you definitely give less shit now than when I've met you. You let go of a lot.
I did, you know,
in the last couple of years,
growing up with kids. So, like, you know, I was my kids were 4 and 2 when we met. I think that so the years of all of that of raising children has changed me, and I think. Listen, I think I'm kind of open-minded. So I think when you're open-minded and you bring things in from different people and different points of view, you kind of maybe realize that what you held, your strong opinions that you held or what used to upset you, it's just not that important anymore. You know, I find the things that are truly important are shrinking as I get older. Mm-hmm. You know, it's friends, family.
Mm-hmm.
Or it used to be a lot of other things. So I don't know. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I still get upset.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't remember. See, I don't remember. I don't want to turn this into a Gary episode, but like, I don't remember the last time you got upset, at least not visibly in front of me.
So that's something else that has changed. What's the point of getting visibly upset other than feeding whatever you're trying to get from other people or outside, you know? If it's a confrontation, that's different. But what are you stomping? You acting like a baby, stomping your feet and screaming and yelling, raising your voice. You know, when I do that from time to time now, and it's much less than it used to be, I'm really embarrassed afterwards. It's like, you know, what was the point of that? It doesn't get you what you want. You know, unless what you want is to like,
isn't that the reason
intimidate somebody or get your own way?
Well, isn't that the reason why us as humans in general, we do this, we raise our voice or we put all these, visible ways of communicating for lack of a better term, because we don't have control over what is happening.
Yeah, you don't have control, and you don't listen. You don't have an argument if you're going to scream and yell. If the way to get your point across, mm-hmm. or to get what you want is through screaming and yelling or intimidation or belittling, then you don't know how to express your argument. If you can't do it in a calm way,
mm-hmm.
if you can't be receptive of another person's point of view, then you don't have an argument. You know. Because, and all you're going to do is, like I said, you're either going to get your way through intimidation or you're going to,
but then even then, did you really get your way?
You know, I don't know if gratification is your way, then probably, but you know, I think if you can have a legit conversation and the other person walks away being receptive.
Yeah, convinced otherwise. That's
or
different.
Not even convinced, but like, okay, I see your point of view. We're going to have to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've achieved something.
Yeah.
The other way, you've achieved them probably
nothing.
Yeah. They're just appeasing you, right? Yeah. And then down the line, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe I've matured. It took me till I was almost 50. But
better late than never.
Yeah, because I see people a lot older than me making fools of themselves on a regular basis. You know, friends, family members. It's just like, really, you still act like that, you know?
Speaking of maturing.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. I'm going to pivot this off of this deep and serious Gary conversation. It was kind of cool to have Eli Knight on the show again.
Absolutely.
We went from episode 13...
So,
to episode 197.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I remember when we got him, I was like, oh, this is a big deal.
This is a big deal.
Because, I mean, up until that point, not to break bad on anybody, but we had friends, a few friends, local people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we did have some big, you know, listen, our first two guests were pretty big. I mean, actually, you know what? Now that I'm looking back,
I'm pulling the roster right now.
I mean, out of the 13 to get to Eli, so the 12 before him, half of them were a pretty big deal. Decent following, decent careers.
Jesus, I have to scroll so deep.
but it was a big deal because, for me, it was a big deal because Eli had a lot of material out. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, you know, up until that point,
I think he
definitely
was
the most material.
Out of the ones that, you know, I'm looking at, you know, he definitely was probably the biggest footprint online.
Yeah.
I mean, Clark Gracie, we had him before that. He was number 7. Mandelson was, you know, he has a big footprint right now. Jeff Curran, Alberto Crane.
Yeah, so like Alberto and Jeff, big careers, right? Mm-hmm. And schools with a ton mm-hmm. of members and things like that. And then we had a couple big-time competitors, mm-hmm. Fiona.
Mm-hmm. Fiona, too, yeah. Yeah. Fiona Watson, yeah.
And Felicia, right, fought in UFC. Mm-hmm. But Eli, I think I don't want to say the most well-rounded. I think it just from a content perspective, whether it was YouTube, mm-hmm. whether it was instruction.
That's what I said. I think he, at that time, he probably had the biggest footprint on the internet, right? I mean, Eli is pretty popular. I mean, people come up to me at the academy and they mention his name because they've seen him. So that on its own tells me that his ability to present information, excuse me, you know, it's there. Like this is what he does. This is his job. This is how he's trying to use the vehicle to really help people in that way, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it was cool to have him back again and having a very different conversation. Not this time, not about necessarily his life, but just jiu-jitsu evolution, and you know, you had an interesting takeaway from all this, right?
Well, just, I mean, there was a point where we were talking about really strong opinions and how people still have them in jiu-jitsu. And, I mean, he has them too, but he's very open-minded about things.
Yeah.
I think his strongest opinion that he expressed was, you know, he didn't want it in the jiu-jitsu in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we talked a bit about, like, you know, the strong opinions people have about cross training, or the strong opinions people have about traditional versus new school, mm-hmm. Competition versus, like the sport aspect versus self-defense, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And then, you know, traditional martial arts, the more, you know, and how some of those people, you know, still have incredibly strong opinions, mm-hmm. about, you know, their art, their subculture within the art, you know, getting back to when the conversation was all about me today, mm-hmm. you know, is it, what, why, you know, why? And he brought up a good point, is like, it when you've ingrained yourself in it for so long, or entrenched yourself, I should say, in it for so long, and you've bought into it for so long, mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like a religion. How do you not?
Other kids.
Yeah.
Kids are coming in.
Yeah, the kids are coming in. How do you not? It's not easy to
let go.
To let go, or to say, oh, maybe my information was incorrect. I always, you know, it's funny. You know, it's everybody always talks about how their God is the one true God. Well, how do you know? It's only that way because you were told that as a kid and you accepted it, and that's the way your life is led, right? So my jiu-jitsu instructor, my taekwondo instructor, my Krav Maga instructor is the one, and he's shown me this way. You know, it's you know, we've had people on talking about cults. So you formulate these opinions, and it's very hard for people to let go, or accept somebody else's, or even agree to disagree. Yeah. Right? You don't have to admit that the other person is better, or their martial art is better, or their, you know, you could just move on and say, all right, you know, but no, you got to fuck that shit.
But at the
don't
same
worry,
time,
the kids can't hear me.
At the same time, this is what creates this diversity between humans. This is the interesting part that we can be. You know, we can express our own opinions, you know, it's just, I just wish that we did it a little bit more civil way.
I think what it can lead to is you're not allowed to express your opinion. You're not allowed to deviate. You're not allowed to learn from somebody else. You're not allowed to seek things out on your own. You have to conform. You have to believe what I believe, and we're going to impose it on everybody. Everybody who walks through the door. And you know, again, we didn't figure it out. We're not going to figure it out now. But it's like, why do we have, as humans, why do we have to be like that? We've since recorded history, we've been like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, these things, this has not changed.
Yeah. Sometimes you go to war because you need the food that's over there. But a lot of times people are going to war for what's on the surface, other reasons.
Well, they believe in what they believe in. I mean, that's why they go to war.
Yeah, you know? And they're going to impose it on somebody else. And it, why? You know, what drives that? Is it power? Is it?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's always about power, right? It's always about expressing your opinions and beliefs and allowing other people to inherit that from you. I mean, like that's what.
Well, yeah.
This is where control comes in. It's imposing, right?
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. But this is why us as humans, that's what we do. You know, and some of them, a lot of people do this in good intentions, but they're also the ones who do it in wrong intentions and in negative ways, right? With a negative impact. And this is why this dynamic is unfolding. You know, like you see this even in academies. Like there's plenty of reasons why jiu-jitsu academies are healthy and making impact on community and individuals and changing lives, and as cliche as it sounds, I mean, this is why we do this. Yet there are ways how this positive environment and this positive notion can really turn in a very, very negative environment, you know?
Yeah.
And we see plenty of examples of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I saw your hand bandaged earlier, and I completely forgot. And then you were talking with your hands just now, and I see a fantastic wound on the palm of your left hand.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I hurt my hand, and then I was teaching this morning. It's like I didn't put a bandage on overnight, and then it created a scab, and then you open your hand, and the scab cracks, and then it leaks, and it's terrible, and it doesn't want to heal because it's in the palm. And
so, but you're not telling me how you did it.
No, I'm not.
All right.
It's awful. I had to teach this morning, and I had to tape up my entire hand, and I look like an idiot, and you know, just, you should see the other guy. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. That's an interesting. Maybe you'll tell me the story off the air. It's like that time you had came up to me and he said, do you think I need stitches on your bicep? And that was a good one when you stabbed yourself
with a box cutter.
Yeah. So
listen, all I'm going to say is we make sacrifices. That's all I'm going to say. We make sacrifices.
I know I made one for you this weekend. I'm still waiting for a thank you.
Oh, wow.
See, I don't let things go.
Oh, no, you don't. I know. I like the version of Gary who holds things inside, you know?
Yeah,
like
he's quiet.
Quiet, doesn't talk, agrees with everything. I like that guy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's end this before the old Gary comes.
I know. Right. Later.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.